Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, titled The Conception of John the Baptist. You may contact us by sending your email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can write to us with any check or money order contributions you wish to send to this ministry, addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at that same address, bbfohio.com. And now we begin our study of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25 and the conception of John the Baptist. This is part 1. Of two.
All right, open your Bibles to Luke 1 as we prepare for our Bible study and our current events update. Did you know the ark leaks?
Oh, with the onions?
Have you seen this? This was on the news. Owners of biblical replica of Noah's ark, he's talking about Ken Ham's ark down in Kentucky, sue over rain damage. And it wasn't even 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you know the problem with that story? Now, how many of you read that and see a picture of the ark, so you think they're talking about the ark, right?
Yeah. They implied it. Sure.
There's only one problem.
What?
This is just another example of the fake news you get. We were talking about this last week. They try to stir you up, and so they put false headlines. And this, I hate this. And conservative news sources will do it too. And I let them know about it. And it's false. It's the Ark encounter down in Kentucky with Ken Ham. And it says that heavy rains in 2017 and 2018 caused a landslide on its access road. And its five insurance carriers refused to cover the nearly $1 million in damages. Look at the last line if you can see that. The ark itself was not damaged and the road has been rebuilt. So what they're trying to do is mock the Christians, the stupid Christians who built the ark down in Kentucky, you know. And they're so dumb. Ha ha, look at them. They're suing over rain damage. And it's a totally false premise, false headline. And the fake news, if it's not true, then it is a lie. Amen?
Amen.
If it's not true, then it is a lie. Here's another example. This is from some Minnesota TV station, I believe, KSTP.com. Look at the headline. Because our point in current events updates, we cannot keep up with all the garbage. What we're trying to do is just continually remind you to read with discernment.
Amen.
Look at things closely. This headline says, Child Who Survived Mall of America Fall Undergoing Further Procedures. Now, I believe this was some Muslim who decided he wanted to kill somebody. Now, he may have some kind of what's called mental issues. I don't know. But when this happened, it wasn't a fall. How many of you know the story? Do you know what I'm talking about? See, it's a good thing I'm discussing. He took a kid and threw him off of a three-story balcony, and the kid landed in the mall, and his mother was standing there watching it all, screaming. They arrested the guy. The kid is surviving, but he's in bad shape, broken bones and all kinds of things. That word right there made this whole thing a total lie. He didn't fall. The dude picked him up and threw him off a three-story balcony. That is not a fall. That'd be like me walking over and grabbing Nick and slamming him down off the ground and say, whoops, sorry you fell, Nick. It's a lie. You were a blessed child. The family of a five-year-old boy who survived after being thrown from a third-story balcony. That's how it should read. So I'm just telling you, folks, either the people in the news business are stupid or they're dishonest. And I believe they're dishonest. Huh? Yeah, there you go. You were talking about that in the Romans study this morning. This is to explain why the news media is so crooked and why they lie all the time. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So they don't sell newspapers, they don't get clicks, and they don't get advertising money. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And I am here to tell you that the strife in this country is because of our news media. They want you to hate people. They want you to be upset with each other. They have to for money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, it's just, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like the race thing and the political thing. They want liberals to be out of their minds over Donald Trump with Trump derangement syndrome, because CNN has enjoyed 2 years of higher ratings. It's still very low compared to their competition for the most part. And now that that's starting to wane, their ratings have gone down. They just announced another big layoff at CNN. So sorry. At CNN this week. Because the Trump derangement level has gone down, and now it's summertime, and it's gone down even more because people are on vacation and they're not glued to their TVs and their phones, and so they're not being triggered and they're not going to CNN.com or turning on CNN on the TV.
Greg, one of the things that Brad brought to my attention was that the people who write the article are not the people who write the headline.
That's right. That's true. But I am constantly, but the articles also are constantly misleading people. So you don't know whether the person who writes the headline is, he can tell the truth. Then when you read the article, you get a lie in there. And by the way, I'm talking Fox News. I go to their website and their articles on there is so much garbage. And I'm signed in, so I leave comments. And I tell them, that's just a lie. I mean, it's just crazy, Sean.
You know, sometimes people don't even have much time to read the news, like on a quick break of work or something. A lot of times, a lot of us just read the headlines.
That's right.
Just to see if it's worth reading.
And therein is my point. Never, ever believe the headline. And then when you read the story, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So somebody will send me a story and I'll read it and then I'll go look and see if there's somebody else reporting on it. And you look in the story for witnesses. If it's an unnamed source says this, I'm not going to buy it until I know there's some hard evidence for what they're saying. You remember back when they were saying that Trump had had that affair with that porn star? She later admitted they didn't. Yep. Wow. I run into people all the time who still think that she did. Yeah. Now, is Trump a saint? I'm not saying that. That's not my headline. But I'm saying when you report a lie, it's a lie. And so only report things that are true and you have news. Otherwise, what you have is propaganda. Amen? All right. Well, that's our current events update for this week. We'll get into Luke and we'll open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and the words from your lips. Amen. In this book. Amen. If it weren't for the Spirit and the Word, we would be just as clueless and just as deceived as anyone else. Help us not to think too highly of ourselves, but to always realize that it's because of you. It's because of your Spirit and your Word that we have whatever wisdom we have. And we thank you for it. And we praise you for it. And ask you to help us to continue to grow and help us in our study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be studying the conception of John the Baptist. And Brother John Albaugh brought up something I just want to open with. Just for information purposes, that how many of you have heard the birth or the conception of Isaac, the conception of John the Baptist, or the conception of Jesus even, referred to as a miraculous conception. Have you heard that? And that's a true statement. They are miraculous. We're going to see why here in a minute. Elizabeth becoming pregnant is miraculous. But there obviously is a difference in the case of Elizabeth and Sarah. Their wombs were barren. In the case of Mary, it was there was no male seed involved. Amen. We'll come to that in our next study. But also, have you heard of the term immaculate conception? Well, the place is named after it, but Immaculate Conception is a doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, and that is about Mary. And they claim that Mary was conceived without original sin. That's the Immaculate Conception. That's why when you go to places named the Immaculate Conception, you always see a big idol of Mary, because that's what it's about. And there's a grove. There's always a grove. Yeah, she somehow or other, even though she had a father and a mother, God kept her from having original sin. And they've turned her into the fourth person of the Trinity, so it can't be called a Trinity anymore. That's why people say, you believe that Catholic doctrine of the Trinity? No, the Trinity in the Catholic Church is totally perverted, and they've added Mary as a goddess. So, but that's, and you, I just want you to understand, words mean things. So, when you hear, you'll hear people call the conception of Jesus the Immaculate Conception. That's not. The Immaculate Conception is about Mary and its heresy. The miraculous conception of Jesus is Bible truth. Miraculous, true. Immaculate, nonsense. Amen? Now make a note of that, because you'll hear Christians all the time thinking that their Catholic friends are talking about the biblical virgin birth when they say they talk about the Immaculate Conception, and it's not. It's a heresy. So we're in Luke 1, 5 to 25. I want to read through the text. You read the odd, and I'll read the even. So join with me in verse 5, and let's read. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. You read the odd, and I'll read the even. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Amen?
Amen.
Now Luke lays down his purpose that we've seen in our previous study, and he named his recipient, Theophilus, and he named his sources, eyewitnesses, those who had seen these things. And he wastes no time getting right into the narrative there in verse 5. And so we began and read verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. So it's good to remember that John's daddy was a priest, and that means he was of the lineage of Aaron. And he was of the course of Abiah, and his wife was also of Aaron. And they were probably distant relatives under the umbrella. You imagine from Aaron how many, what that family tree looked like.
Amen. Amen.
And they had this all on records.
Yeah.
And you go back to Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll see that some of the descendants of Aaron couldn't prove their lineage, so they were out.
Yeah.
But the ones who, Elizabeth and Zacharias, came from those who could prove their lineage. So when the temple was rebuilt, it was their great, 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 great granddad and grandma who were alive at that time. And now we come down to what we see in verse 5. And the reference to Zacharias being of the priesthood and of the course of Abias tells us more than most understand. Now, I'm not trying to prove how smart I am. I had to learn this too. But I just want to ask everybody in the room, can you tell me why that is important? What do we learn from the fact that Zacharias was of the course of Abias?
I think it tells us what time of year or something.
There you go. Now, if you didn't already know this, what I'm about to show you, you are going to learn something this morning. And so your coming to church has been worthwhile. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I know you can't see that from there. I'm going to zoom in, but this is what the chart from a distance looks like, where they show the courses of the priesthood. And in the first column, you have the number of the month, because the Bible most of the time refers to the months by the number. But it also refers to the first month, for example, as Nisan. What's in Nisan? Passover on the 14th, and that's the day Jesus died, was on Nisan 14. Then in the third column is the numbers of the priesthood courses, and there are 24 courses.
Amen.
And they were basically broke up into about 2 weeks. And so then the next column is the names they gave them, and that was back when they set these courses up, and I believe it's in Exodus where you find this, but also it's listed in 1 Chronicles 24, 1 through 19, 1 Chronicles 27. So there you are. If you skip 1 Chronicles, you wouldn't know this. And a lot of people skip those chronicle books because there's too much genealogy. Man, that's you'll learn stuff. You'll learn stuff. All right, so if you look the highlighted level, and we'll zoom in, some of you can see that anyway. But the course of Abijah would have been the eighth course of the 24 priestly courses. And that would be during the fourth month called Tammuz. And that's the two-week period that we're reading about right here in Luke chapter 1. Now I want to go back to the bigger one for just a second. And you may not be able to read the words, but you can, if you're not colorblind, you can see the highlighted yellow. That's that eighth course of Abijah, of which Zacharias would have been serving in the temple. And after that, when the ninth course began, is when the countdown of the birth of John begins. Okay? But what we're going to see, and we'll come back to this chart again in our next study, is that by looking at this chart, we can also see when Mary conceived. Which means we can see when Jesus was born.
Yep.
That's down at the bottom of this chart. And so we see that Jesus was born somewhere around September 18. Because that'll be my 50th birthday this year. Now, it can range anywhere from, I think, the end of August to October, and it's according to what year and all that, and some guys have really tried to nail that down, but our calendar is so screwed up. No one has an infallible date for what we call Christmas. But we know the birth of Jesus wasn't in December, 99.9% sure. But we celebrate the fact that the whole world focuses on the incarnation in December. And so that's why we focus on presenting Jesus, not straightening everybody out on when his real birthday was. Because it could be most likely September or October, somewhere in there. And that would be, as I said, in that big chart, that's how we can figure that out. So we don't know the exact date on our calendar, but we do know the exact date on the Jewish calendar. Yeah. By the way, the Jewish calendar is a lunar solar calendar. Ours is solar. And I read a thing about how they come up with their calendar, and they try to date all the way back to the creation. And I don't know if their exact date is correct or not or anything like that. But it does go back to about 6,000 years. And we're coming up on the end of 6,000 years. And if their calendar is anywhere close, then we've got to be close to the millennium.
Amen.
And if a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, and Hosea is true, and so forth. And that's all stuff we can't cover this morning. But we'll come back to that and show you that again. But I bring that up because what you need to understand is the whole world lieth in wickedness,
right,
according to 1 John.
Amen.
They're deceived. And they think the book that you have on your lap is not true. They don't believe it is historically accurate. And it is.
Amen.
And so as a Christian, the reason we're so crazy about the Bible, bibliolaters, they like to call us. Because in their eyes, we as much as burn incense and bow down to it and, you know, I guess and sacrificing animals and sprinkling it with blood and whatever they envision in their mind. No, we don't do any of that. But we sure love this book. Love this. I'm up in the middle of the night and can't breathe. If I can think at all, I like to open that book.
Amen.
Not just, I do my daily readings. And I let Alexander Scorby do that for me some days. As long as you're reading the Bible daily and then trying to go through it from beginning to end.
Amen.
But whatever formula or whatever you're finding, we have, by the way, you can start any time of the year with our little calendars over here.
Amen.
Just look up the date and start reading. And I highlight, I'm going to show you mine when I get done with it. What I actually have done, I'm not trying to boast, I'm just telling you, I'm going to bring it in sometime next month. But I've been going through, so I get through the Bible twice in a year. And I'm marking off, so in June I'll be done with my first time through it. I'm going to get another calendar. And I'm going to mark it off.
Amen.
Because I'm human. And I can lose track. I can fall behind. I've done it.
Yep.
But the point I'm making is I put the effort in. Because I believe this book is the Word of God.
Amen.
It is infallible.
Amen.
It is true. The history is true and it is without error.
Amen.
There are plenty of errors in the Bible, by the way. But the errors are always what the humans are doing and what Satan is doing.
Yeah.
What is without error is the account given.
Amen.
For example, when Uriah is killed by David and takes Bathsheba, that was a big error on David's part.
Amen.
But the account we have of David doing all that is infallible.
Amen.
Without error. Amen? You understand?
Amen.
So in verse 6, it says, and they were both righteous before God. Now think about this. This is infallible. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now that's pretty impressive testimony from Luke concerning the Holy Spirit is leading him in his choice of words. I don't think the Holy Spirit would say that about Greg Miller. Maybe you're better than me, but they were both righteous before God. I'm only righteous before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But these two were exceptional. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Now, I'm not, it says blameless, it doesn't say sinless. See there? What I'm saying is, they broke some rules and laws, I'm sure, in their lifetime. They sinned. But the reason why they were righteous is because they obeyed the Lord and offered the blood at the temple. Blood and burnt sacrifices. They did what God told them to do to get a covering. And so their sins in the Old Testament were covered with that animal blood. When they died, they went down to paradise. And they waited for the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And when that blood of the Lamb was shed, that Lamb, Jesus Himself, went down to paradise and emptied the joint.
Amen.
And took them all home.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the whole point of this. Why is John coming into this world? He's going to make straight the paths for the Lord Himself. But as far as Scripture is concerned, most of you hopefully know this by heart, 2 Timothy 3:16, read it if you know it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now I stop there, but it goes on to say, you know, through that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. But the point and why I'm focusing on 16 is that Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
All Scripture, everything in your Bible, is God-breathed.
Amen.
Like, I want, some of you aren't here, so I'm going to go back there. Psalm, go back to Psalm 17. It's one of many descriptions of Scripture. Psalm 17, verse 4. We talked about this a little bit this morning in the Sunday School open Bible study.
Amen.
It cross-references, thanks to John's teaching this morning. I learned something every Sunday morning when I come to these Romans Bible studies.
Amen.
And it's not John, it's not Steve, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
But they put in the prep time to bring this stuff in here. And if you're not here, you should be watching them online. Go online and watch these studies. And you can cook and clean and, or you know, just sit back and relax and let them do all the talking and learn. But look what it says in verse 4. Go ahead and read it. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. The word of God's lips. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I just don't think you can hold this book in high enough esteem.
Yep. Amen.
And you say, well, you know, you get too, you esteem it too much, then you become an idolater. You get, that can't happen, because if you're holding this book in esteem, you won't have an idol.
Amen. Amen.
So you hold this book in as much esteem as this book tells you to, and you're safe.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this, it'll be higher than most of the people you know, and I'm including professing Christians. They do not hold the book high enough in esteem. Their opinion is their God today. That's a big problem. So verse 7 says, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And that's the miraculous thing about this. You talk to a lady who's stopped her menstrual cycle and then, you know, waited another 10, 15, 20 years and got pregnant. I've never met that woman. And it may have happened. God's been gracious and merciful, or the women may call it something else, but you know, children are a heritage.